What's going on, Mets fans? I'm Matthew Cerrone from MetsBlog.com, and this is the Meet the Mets cast from SOY.TV. I'm here with Rob Brender from SiriusXM. Rob, what's going on? How are you doing tonight?
Good. You, Matt? How you doing?
I am all pumped up, full of caffeine. It's been a long day. I didn't get much sleep last night. I don't know why. I kept getting hit with it's so frustrating. This is part of it's so funny. Like, this is part of being a Mets fan who also writes about the team, and I've been doing this for seemingly forever. And, you know, I'm getting text messages throughout the night waking me up because, you know, you got it's winter meetings. You got to keep the phone on because you never know, right?
And sure, of course.
I should know better, but I do it anyway, and I leave the phone. And, like, I get it's just random stupid text messages from, like, people that are down there that are like, hey, you know, this is going on, or did you hear this? But, and it's like, it wakes you up every 5 minutes, and, like, I got to do it because, like, it's part of the deal, but, like, it's for nothing, you know? Like, yeah. Nothing happens. It's so, anyway.
Oh, I know. And this is a strange winter meetings in that regard because it's really not just the Mets where nothing's happening. Nothing is happening at all.
Right. And it's, you know, I think that's going to start to shake out. Like, I think a big part of that is it's, you know, from what I'm hearing down there, and I think it's going to start to move this evening. I think you're going to start to see that into tomorrow, finally. But there's so many big opportunities, right? Like, it started with Stanton, but now there's Machado and, you know, Colome and Archer in the same deal, and Longoria and this thing and that thing, and, like, who, and so there's so many, like, big pieces that aren't that expensive. Maybe the trade is costly, but, you know, Machado making $17 million a year, you got to check in on that no matter who you are.
Oh, sure.
So, like, you know, it's, I think it's slowing the process down because it's like, well, wait a minute, we got to call Baltimore. Like, why, what's going on there? So, like, that has stunted the free agent market, and then everything's just at a crawl, and all we see is just a ton of rumors. So, like, it's been a little, yeah, but I think that's going to break tonight into tomorrow. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it probably will, but I really thought that that would happen today, to be honest with you. I'm actually a little bit surprised we haven't seen more today. And
I think the Machado stuff really threw a kink in the I think that was really the, that slowed things down.
100%, yeah, absolutely could be right about that. And that goes back to something with the Orioles I've been thinking for years now is, well, at least a couple of years, they're going to start to have to think about rebuilding here soon. And after that Chris Davis contract, which is going to turn out to be one that really hurts their franchise, I think, for a long time, now you're in a position where you're for the Orioles. I don't even know if they could afford to bring Machado back. He certainly wants to go to free agency, more than likely, even if they did make him a long-term offer right now this offseason. So, yeah, I think the Orioles have to rebuild at some point. The question is, will they really do this? I know they're taking offers, but are they really going to do it now, or are you going to wait until mid-season where you know where you stand in the division? I don't think they have much of a chance to win the American League East, looking at what the Yankees and Red Sox have right now. So I would trade him now. I just don't know if they'll actually do it. And I certainly don't think the Mets have enough to get him.
No, I'll get into that in a second, but just real quick, this touches on what I was talking about in last night's podcast, which I'm going to try and write a little bit more about on Thursday, which is this you know, wash, rinse, and repeat strategy of building a team, and that's where the Orioles are. Like, it's time. You tried it. You had, you know, 4 or 5 years here of this crew. It's time to cut bait. You know, trade Machado, trade Britton, trade all these guys for prospects. Clear your payroll, clear your budget, go sign some people, develop these kids, and take another crack at it. Like, that's what you're going to do at the time that the Red Sox and the Yankees are probably on the midway end of their run. And, like, that's just what it's going to be. And the Orioles, like, the Mets are sort of in this, like, well, we're in between. We got to compete. We got to. And it's like, no, man, you got to just cut bait or go for it. Like, that
well,
is
here,
the deal.
Here's one thing that I want to add to that. And I agree with everything you just said. The Orioles have, like the Mets, a very poor farm system. It's actually much worse even than the Mets.
Sure.
It's one of the worst farm systems in all of baseball. Okay, so they don't have much that's coming, much in the pipeline. They have a lot of players who are about to hit free agency. That's where there's a big difference between what the Mets currently have, which is a decent group. Cespedes is signed, and he's there. And again, I'm banking on health. Take the health equation out of this completely.
Right, yeah, but that's every team.
What you have in Cespedes, what you have in DeGrom, what you have in Syndergaard, and in theory what you have in the two rookies at shortstop and first base, the Mets have a nice base where if they're willing to invest, you could bring in a team that legitimately could qualify as a challenger for the World Series this year. You just have to be willing to invest now and go for it. They have the young core there. Whereas with the Orioles, you're going to, again, lose Machado more than likely after this year. you're probably going to try to bring back Scope, I would think. You don't have any pitching. I mean, look, Dylan Bundy could be nice. Maybe Gausman, if he rebounds, could be nice. But for the most part, there's just no pitching there. Starting pitching. They have an excellent bullpen, although some of those bullpen pieces are going to be free agent soon, like Brad Brock and so on and so forth. So I think that there's a difference in where the Mets are and where they could be if they were willing to invest some cash into this right now, this offseason, as compared to where the Orioles are, where, as you said, you have two incredible rosters, incredible teams with the Yankees and Red Sox, likely going to finish ahead of them anyway and only going to get better probably the next few years. Now is your chance to really start this whole thing over by dealing a guy like Machado who could bring you back a haul.
So let's get into it. Do you trade? So Andy Martino, who's writing for SNY and doing work down there for us on air, he suggested trading Steven Matz. I mean, I think that's their only, you know, if they want two young, controllable starting pitchers, they're obviously not looking for Gazelman and Lugo. So, you know, you got to go with Matz because you're not trading DeGrom and Syndergaard. I don't know that anybody would really want Wheeler in that regard. So it's Matz, but you know, Andy stops short at that point. He just says Matz and then moves on. Right. So, like, who's the other pitcher that they're dealing? And because I'll assume that they'll take the money on because it's not, you know, it's not the end of the world and they can't afford that. I just don't believe that the Mets would take Machado on for Matz. You know, I just don't, my hunch is that's just not what they want to do. And so, you know, I mean, what do you think? Who's the other guy? Let's just assume that you wanted to make this trade. Did they even have that guy?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think they do have that guy. And I keep going back to the Cardinals. I think at one point yesterday we were talking about the Cardinals with some potential trades. If the Cardinals really want to go out and get Machado or Ozuna from Miami, they have a much better farm system than the Mets do. And they have guys at the AAA level who could help a team either right now or in the very near future. So when you're looking at a trade and you're the Orioles, you likely want a piece that you think, at least one piece, maybe two, that you think can help you very soon, and maybe a couple of pieces that are longer or further away but are also considered decent prospects. So a couple of guys maybe the low A level that could help you in a few years if it pans out. But at least you know you're getting back a couple of guys that will help you right now. But Steven Matz, and I equated this online, Matt, maybe I'm totally off base here. My trading in my like 10-year-old Chevy for a Rolls-Royce Phantom 1 year. Would the Rolls-Royce Phantom, even for 1 year, would that dealership be willing to take on my 10-year-old Chevy for that? Probably not. Not that Steven Matz is bad. It's a nice piece. And if he finally stays healthy and if he pitches to his potential as a lefty, could he be a nice piece for them for the next, you know, 5-6 years? Yeah, he could. But that's a lot of ifs. And if I'm the Orioles, I'm looking for a little bit more security than that. And I don't think the Mets have that secondary piece because, as you said, do they really want Wheeler? That's kind of like Steven Matz, if not a guy that's even more of a long shot. And you're not trading, as you said, Syndergaard and DeGrom. So, no, I don't think they do. I don't think that piece exists. I certainly don't think Dominic Smith would interest them in trade. You have Chris Davis at first. And even if you move Davis to the outfield, do you really want to trade Dom Smith for 1 year of somebody else? Machado?
It's got to be Rosario. I mean, that's the position, right? Because they're trading Machado, and they need, you know, so like, there is no way on earth that Sandy Alderson is trading Rosario and Matz for 1 year of Machado.
No
way they're re-signing to a $300 million deal or whatever this guy's going to want. So
more.
Right.
Go on.
You know, so, I mean, it's such a moot point. And I respect Andy, and I appreciate the post, but like, I just don't. If you're not going to mention the other pitcher, I don't know what the point of even arguing about it is.
So. It would be like, I guess, Gazelman and Matz, maybe, but Gazelman stunk last year. They're not going to want Gazelman.
Yeah.
Not for Machado.
I mean, I guess the question then becomes, what's the other team? So, like, the Cardinals can match that. Like, they have it. So,
yeah.
And it's obvious. And look, I believe this is just
what about Atlanta?
Right, Atlanta. Very good option. Atlanta, Longoria and Atlanta are like a match made in heaven, by the way. We can get to that later if you want. But, you know, to me, Archer and Colomé are in the same deal going to Chicago. The Cubs, I don't know that for fact. It's just a hunch. Like, it just makes so much sense.
Yeah.
You know,
it makes sense for the Mets, too, that package, by the way.
Right. No kidding. But they don't have Schwarber. You know, they don't have Addison Russell. You know, so, like, it's.
Right.
That's what's going to happen, I think. And then, like, that's going to take the Cubs out of those things. So that, to me, means the Cardinals make total sense for Machado. J.D. Martinez goes to the Red Sox, who then look to trade Jackie Bradley Jr. You know,
yeah.
It's like I think
the Giants would love to have Machado too. Probably,
they
I
would.
Just don't know if they have pieces.
Yeah, I don't know, and they're not in the position to go for the 1 year move.
That's the thing too. Yeah, I mean, look, Machado's going to go to free agency, and hey, maybe if teams play this really patiently, which I don't know if they will, then maybe they'll hold out long enough where the Orioles either A, realize that they're not going to get back what they initially may have thought they could, or B, that it plays out better for them in the long run where they keep Machado until the deadline and then they wind up getting more anyway. Because at that point, the teams that are really in contention that could use Machado, they're willing to step it up. Whereas right now, maybe there's only a couple teams that are interested because they're scared off by the one-year deal. I don't know. We'll see how things play out.
But I feel like that's the one that threw a kink into the system today. The other thing is second base. There's reports I've been writing all week, and I think other people have too. I'm not really sure. Things are moving so quick. I'm not really catching up on other stuff. But I keep hearing that the Tigers want to move Kinsler by the end of the week. Some Rule 5 issues, roster things or something. But it just makes sense. It's time. So,
yeah.
You know, and the Mets are clearly interested in him. I don't know that it's the right fit, but if Detroit's going to pick up some money and it's, you know, I don't know. We'll see what the deal is. My understanding was that the Mets and the Tigers essentially agreed on players. They just, you know, it's who's paying the bulk of the money as is
right.
Usually the case. So, like, it's, you know, how that goes down, I'm not sure. But I feel like he's the only option at second base this week. If they don't trade for Kinsler this week and he goes to, say, the Angels, then – you know, my guess is that they just roll, they wait, and they play out second base because at that point they're really the only heavy suitor for a second baseman, and there's other options. So, like, why rush?
I would have, Matt. I hate to go back to this.
Yeah.
I would have loved Dee Gordon there, and
yeah,
the more I think about it, just for the athleticism alone, he's a Gold Glove caliber second baseman. They wound up, and I don't know if Miami would have traded him to the Mets. You know, maybe the division rival issue is some kind of question there, and maybe the Mets wouldn't have wanted to pick up all that money like Seattle did, but Seattle essentially gave up nothing for Dee Gordon. So maybe you could have given a slightly better prospect package and tried to pick him up, but yeah, too late now. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to assume the Mets didn't want the money because my understanding there was they talked briefly around the GM meetings and that was the end of that. You know, and given that not a lot of talent went back to Miami, it had to be about the dollar. So there you go. And so you got to imagine that's the same conversation being had with Detroit. So, you know, if it works out and the Mets get Kinsler, then it's going to be because Detroit is paying some of those dollars. And so there you go. If not, then, like I said, I think it becomes waiting out Neil Walker, waiting out, you know, Eduardo Nunez, or seeing what the Indians do with Kipnis and how their offseason goes and just like rolling the dice. And worst case scenario, I guess you go and you get, another utility infielder to rotate around the infield. The other option is you go to third base and you put Cabrera back at second, which is the other move. So I just feel like that's where second base stands. What's your read on that, you know, part of the field?
Here's what I would do personally.
I like Lowry,
and I know a lot of people are down on Moustakas, and I know that there's concerns about how many years and how many dollars he might ultimately wind up getting, because the Giants are probably interested. I think the Angels are probably still interested at this point. Why wouldn't they be? He wants to go back there. He's from this area, Southern California. If the Mets could make a play for Moustakas, I think he would do so well there. I really do. This idea that last year was some aberration that hitting the 38 home runs. Look, maybe he won't give you 38, but he gives you 30. I'd be okay with that. I think he would do well in New York.
Yeah.
He would give you a third baseman for the next, 3, 4, 5 years. He's not that old at this point. I would go there and I would shift Cabrera, who's making absolutely no money, back to second base, where he's probably a little bit more comfortable than third base. And then from there, I would try to upgrade. Well, certainly center field. I don't know why they wouldn't want to go out and get Lorenzo Cain at this point. Doesn't seem like Lorenzo Cain has much of a market, if any. The Giants are hot after Billy Hamilton, it sounds like. So if you take them out of the equation, how many teams want Lorenzo Cain? Yeah. I would try to sign Lorenzo Cain.
Blue Jays.
Another thing I would do, I know I'm breaking off into a tangent here. I apologize for that. But that's how I would solve it. And the other thing I would also do right now if I was the Mets is I would go get Jonathan Lucroy. It doesn't sound like Lucroy has any market at all either. None. The Rockies just picked up Chris Iannetta. They brought him back. So who wants Jonathan Lucroy? I'm guessing the Diamondbacks may make a play for him at this point because they just lost Iannetta. But why not? Do you really trust Travis d'Arnaud as your everyday catcher next year? You want Plawecki as your backup catcher? Why not just bring in Lucroy for almost nothing and let d'Arnaud learn from him at the very least? I mean, you're built on pitching.
Yeah. 5 years, 90, 80, 90 million for Moustakas. I don't know that he can get that because...
I don't know if he'll get that either.
Yeah, I don't see the demand to really warrant that. So, you know...
What if it's 65 million? What if it's,
he's not going to take a 1 year because he's not going to want to compete next year with Machado. So I'm sure that's not of interest to them. He's 29. So, he could do a a 3 or 4 year deal and still go back at it. That my guess is that maybe is where he settles. And if that's the case, yeah, I'm with you. Look, he can go back to doing, I'll take 280 and 25 home runs. Like he had a few years ago. He doesn't have to be the lower batting average and, the more loft and more power. Like I'll take that, that guy was great. Who whipped up on the Mets in the postseason. I that's fine.
And again, it's not just about Moustakas, Matt. For me, it's about the fact that you can then move Cabrera to second base, you don't have to go out and get a second baseman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if it's Neil Walker for 2 years and Cabrera at third, I'd much rather pay a few more million dollars to get Moustakas for 3 or 4 years.
100%.
So I hope that's how they're looking at it. I don't know that they are, but yeah.
Well, right. Same thing with Kinsler for me. I mean, Ian Kinsler was awful last year, and he's also, by the way, pretty old. Yeah. So the chances that he rebounds to have even a 1 or 2 WAR season this year, probably not all that great. I mean, but that's a reach to me. I mean, look, that's a stopgap move. That's a team that wants to not spend.
Kinsler, I'm not sold on Kinsler. I don't know why.
Nor I.
Yeah, I mean, I just... All around the board, I don't feel like I don't think he's properly rated. And he's a bit of a hothead and, going to the National League and I don't even know. Something about him just doesn't grab me the right way. We'll see how it goes.
It's 100% not the way I would go. Again, if you're trying to compete for a World Series, you want to upgrade your roster. The way to do it is, go out and get Moustakas, and now all of a sudden – you've got Moustakas and Conforto, the two lefty big guys in the middle of that lineup with Cespedes in between. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah. And then sign Lorenzo Cain, because you should sign Lorenzo Cain anyway. You can't go into next year with the guards as your center fielder. You need offense. Yeah. This team is starving for offense. They need defense too. But at the same time, Lagares isn't good. Yeah. Cain gives you offense and defense.
What about... Talk to me a little bit about I don't know if you caught any of Callaway's comments. He was talking about the...
I did.
The closer. I mean, personally, I think that's the way to go, and I don't have any problem with that. I don't know that the players, it'll fly with the players as they're kind of going along, but what's your feeling on not having sort of the set, what they used to call it, bullpen by committee was the old school term. I mean, where do you land on that?
Well, initially I thought that's... sounds like a good idea. It's like the new wave or the new way of thinking with bullpens is that you just put them in the highest leverage situation, the best situation at the time. You do it based on matchups, basically, which the Indians were able to do with Miller. But the problem is the Mets don't really have that guy. So if you put Jerry's Familia, let's say, in that role where he kind of moves around and he pitches in the fifth inning or sixth inning because there's a time in the game that you think that it's the highest leverage or going to be the highest leverage, now all of a sudden you don't have Cody Allen like the Indians did to pitch the ninth inning.
Right.
Allen's really, really good. And then they have Brian Shaw, of course, that they can move around. And I know the Mets think that they have some kind of mix where they could put Jerry Blevins maybe in that role. And maybe if they sign Shaw, something like that would work. But as presently constructed, I don't know if it's good enough to do what they want to do. I think maybe if they again bring in a Brian Shaw type, okay.
Yeah.
Well, one other thing I want to throw in there: the only person this is really going to piss off one way or the other is Jerry's Familia.
Yeah, right.
Because he'll be a free agent after next year. He is really not going to be happy.
Yeah. How do you feel about Mike Napoli? I think that's ridiculous.
why do you think it's ridiculous?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. He's going to the National League. He's playing out there every, what's he going to play? Righties every day. You're going to let Flores get a little bit of you don't have the DH. I don't know.
Well,
really make your case. Argue it to me.
I like I like it. And I don't just like it because I like the guy, because he's a great dude. He was on one of the minor league teams that I worked for as a play-by-play guy 15 years ago before he broke into the big leagues. And he is an awesome, awesome guy. And I just love the story because he went from being a guy that the Angels at the time had in their farm system and never thought was going to be their starting catcher, never thought would even probably make it to the big leagues because they had Jeff Mathis in the system at the time. So they kind of pushed Napoli to the side. And as it turns out, Napoli's wound up having an incredible career. So I think it's a great story. But beyond that, much beyond that, he's a guy that 100% is going to give you power, a power upgrade.
Well, yeah, that's
he hit 29 home runs last year, even though he had a terrible season at the plate. He just had a thumb ligament repaired in his hand. This was last week or the week before that. He said he was actually on air with us at MLB Network Radio, and he said that he thinks that had a huge impact on the way he performed at the plate. Maybe he should have told them sooner and had the surgery during the season. That would have helped. But he played the whole year. He toughed his way through it, put up some bad numbers, but the power was still there. So I know he's going to give you power. Great clubhouse guy. Great guy to have around when you have a championship team. I guess that goes back to clubhouse guy. It's all the same thing. Decent defender, not a great defender by any means. He's older and has never been all that mobile, but he's good enough at first base.
He is.
If you're looking for a guy, Matt, that just is going to fill the spot and allow Dom Smith to, I don't know, what is mature, get a little bit better, give him a platoon partner maybe for a little while. I don't know how they plan to play that out. I wouldn't mind it on a one-year deal. Just because I don't think, who else are they going to go get for first base? Do you want Adam Lind instead?
No. It depends on Flores' role. I mean, Napoli's a better left. I mean, I could be wrong on this, and I don't have it in front of me, but like if I remember correctly, he hits lefties better than righties. I could be wrong. But, you know, if that's the case, you've already got that with Flores. There's something about Napoli at his age, the success he had, the injuries now, following the manager,
really
going to National League. Right. It reminds me of something the Mets would have done like in the early 2000s. That was like a reach move because they couldn't do anything else. And it was like, you know, let's just do this because there's nothing else there. And it just, they justify it, but it doesn't pan out the way they, like, there's something, it's not, you know what it is? Maybe I'm just, there comes a point in the winter meetings and I think I'm suffering from it. So maybe I should just shut up, which is like, I start to get tired of the secondary move. And like, it's like, all right, enough of this. Like, I just, at this point, we're just throwing darts. Like,
right,
if we're
right.
not going for the home run, like, and we're just bunting for a base hit. Like, you know, one of the two, like, and it's, I think I'm getting to that point. I don't know. I get it. I get Napoli. I understand.
Right, no.
And it could prove out to be very good. I just have a bad feeling about it, but I'm starting to feel like I have a bad feeling about everything that isn't Moustakas or Carlos Santana or, you know what I mean? Like,
You should. And I 100% go with that feeling. Those guys are still available. They're on
right.
the board.
That's the problem,
and
right?
Go out and get big-time players. That's what they need to be doing. And Sandy Alderson talking about payroll today drove me nuts.
Yeah.
He's the one that names the payroll figure when they ask him. Don't say a word about it when the media asks you what the payroll is going to be and talk about lowering payroll. Well, just say we don't know what the payroll is going to be yet. We're working on putting together a budget. We'll tell you when we have the players in hand.
Right.
I mean, at that point, nobody will ask him what the number is going to be.
Yeah, they will.
they'll ask, but he just doesn't have to tell them.
Yeah,
who cares what he says the number is going to be?
So you got to run. I know you got to run. So
soon I do. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to say this. Just if you're the Mets, I get playing it patiently. Nobody's really done anything at this point, so it's okay. Which, by the way, screams of some weird type of collusion that they're all waiting out the market at the same time.
Yeah, it's called Scott Boras, who represents five of the top six free agents. That's what you're
talking. I know. And I love Boras handing out the, was it 75 or 80 page notebook to all the teams on Jake Arrieta, which is hilarious to me. I mean, great for him. Good for his clients, man. They make money. But I think that the Mets, I hope that the rumors that you hear are just a bunch of nonsense. Yeah, they're making contact with guys, are talking to this team, talking to that player. That doesn't matter. Go make the moves. Please go make the moves. Make this team better. All right, I'm done ranting.
Okay, there you go. No, that's good. I want to leave some silence here because I wanted to let that, you know, simmer. There you have it. Thanks again to Rob. He and I will be back again tomorrow night with our last Winter Meetings podcast of the week. We'll catch up with you then. And as always, let's go Mets.